Chapter 1. "Tommy, come on," Claire Simmons called to her 13-year-old son. "I'd like to get there today."
"So go," Tommy said, his reply muffled by the door.
She knocked softly and opened the wooden panel.
"We are not doing this. You are in so much trouble right now, after getting suspended.
I hated calling Grandpa to cancel last minute because of you doing your punishment at the school, but I made excuses for why. Scott Thomas Simmons, you haven't even packed?"
Her son lifted a bony shoulder in reply and glared at her, his 6-foot frame sprawled out on the bed with his feet hanging over the side.
"I don't want to go," he said, drawing out the words.
Claire inhaled and dug to the very edges of her soul for patience.
"We are surprising Grandpa and spending a fabulous few weeks at the beach while I polish my resume and apply for jobs.
Pack."
The day after Tommy's end-of-year detention and makeups, she'd showed up at work like so many others, only to be called into a group meeting in the conference room and told to gather her things, handed an envelope, and escorted from the building. Reeling from the sudden job loss, she'd sat down and taken a hard look at her finances, Tommy's behavior, and her reasons for staying in Virginia Beach after Scott's death rather than moving back to Carolina Cove. Her father was well and able-bodied now, but there would come a point where he'd need help, and she didn't want to be 6 hours away like she'd been when her mother had collapsed and died from a heart attack before she could make it to see her. There was also the fact things had been so strained between her and her father since her pregnancy at 17, and after losing her mother, Claire didn't want that to be the case with her only living parent. What better time than now to reconnect with her father and check out the job market there, but also take a much-needed vacation while trying to get Tommy on a more even keel since his father's death.
"Sounds like a lot to pack into a short stay."
"Do I have to?"
"Really?
What kid didn't want to go to the beach?"
"Yes, you have to.
Now, or you go without clothes or shoes or anything else for the foreseeable future with only yourself to blame. You have 30 minutes to gather your stuff and meet me at the door. And do not leave your room a mess, I will check. Your bed is to be made, drawers and closet closed, and floor cleaned up before you leave this room.
Understood?"
"I don't want to sell our house. I don't want to leave my friends."
"Your so-called friends got you suspended for a third time. You're lucky the principal had mercy and let you take the tests to advance with your class."
"This is our house."
"Dad's house," Tommy muttered, glaring at her with tears in his yes, so like his father's. The impact shredded her insides, but she stood firm. She wasn't sure she wanted to move either, but with the market as hot as it was, her only immediate male family too far away to lend a helping hand and give Tommy the guidance he obviously needed, and her job now non-existent, the timing couldn't be ignored. Maybe even considered a sign?
"I haven't made a firm decision of whether we'll move or not, but Miss Cynthia is coming over while we're gone to look around and see what she thinks she can price the house for. She may even have a couple of people interested enough to make offers."
"I don't care."
"Well, I do.
And whether we move to Carolina Cove or stay in Virginia, this house is way more than I can afford on my own. I'm going to talk to Grandpa about it once we get there because he's good at these kinds of decisions, but in the meantime, Tommy, I need a break, okay? A vacation and time to clear my head and de-stress from everything that's going on, and now's the best time while I'm between jobs. Help me out here.
Please."
Claire waited for him to grudgingly get to his feet and grab a duffel bag before she left the room so as to not hear his mutterings. Outside his door, she ran through her mental checklist one last time as she wandered the house. Garage door closed, house looking good for her realtor friend.
What else?
Mail. Her neighbor would also get the mail and let her know if anything important showed up. Her bills were on autopay to get the discounts available for doing so, and could be accessed from her laptop. That was everything. So why did it feel like she was missing something? You say that every time we go anywhere. With a hard tug at her heartstrings, Scott's voice sounded in her mind, and she closed her eyes, reveling in the memory of him standing by the door, hand on the knob, looking amused and amazingly patient while she tore through the house at the last minute, checking everything before whatever getaway they were taking. Back then, it was typically short weekend trips or the occasional vacation if the timing had worked out with his deployment schedule. But now, her gaze settled on a photo, and Claire walked to the sofa table. This was taken 3 years ago? Yeah, 3. Before her mom's death and Tommy's growth spurt. In the year since Scott's accident, the days had started to blur together in a rush of busyness, stress, and the numbness of grief. Losing Scott so soon after losing her mother. She hadn't meant to ignore her father these last 2 years, but given the distance and her own inability to cope, plus Tommy, her job, and just trying to keep her head above water long enough to take a breath, she was sure her father felt that way. And probably angrier because of it. Claire carried the frame to her computer bag and carefully tucked it inside to take with her. That done, she turned to run through that checklist again. Scott's death benefits had allowed her to pay down a lot of their debt, but not all, and she'd be lying if she said she wasn't panicking now due to her job loss. She'd loved her husband with every fiber of her being, but he sucked when it came to money and self-gratification. Things that should have been done, paid, weren't. Like the life insurance she thought was being carried through the military, that had been canceled without her being aware. Being a single mom while Scott was deployed, working and handling things at home meant sometimes things slipped by her. But it was the over-the-top extras that got them. Scott liked big, expensive toys like boats and trucks and Harleys, and he'd constantly rolled from one model into a bigger, supposedly better one. That meant when the time had come to sell the toys, she hadn't been able to get anywhere near the amounts financed on them. Then there were the homes they'd purchased because Scott didn't like living on base. They'd racked up some serious craziness when it was time to pack up and move again. They got a housing stipend, but it took time to sell homes and money. Before moving to Virginia, they'd had trouble selling two of the homes they'd purchased during previous moves, and they'd carried mortgages and rental expenses until they'd been able to unload them both at losses. Because of the heavy debt, the benefits she'd received hadn't been enough to cover everything. She still had a mortgage on their current house, but it had built up quite a bit of equity, as the real estate prices in the area had soared in the last year or so. Her biggest regret in light of Tommy's nefarious activities was that maybe she should have taken more time off of work after Scott's passing. But with Tommy back in school during the day, and their monthly bills still to pay, the thought of wandering the house with nothing to occupy her mind left her desperate for the hours she'd spent at her job. Now she was income less due to cutbacks, Tommy was acting out worse by the day, and her last phone call with her father in Carolina Cove had been sad. They'd sat there in silence, phones to their ears, nothing to say once the how are yous were out of the way. That wasn't the way things should be. She knew enough to know that. He'd seemed lonely, talked only about work, and she hated that it had been so long since their last visit, even though her mother had been the glue that kept them speaking. A door slammed in the hallway behind her, and she turned to find Tommy trudging toward her with a duffel, two backpacks, his gym bag and tote with wires dragging behind. You went into my closet? No video games is part of your punishment. I want to take them, if we're there longer than you think. Tommy, you broke into the school and vandalized it. They were talking about prosecuting all of you. You got off easy just having to do cleanup. I know. I won't play them. I'm taking them just in case. Fine. We'll pack them, but I keep them with me in my room. Whatever. What was that? Nothing. Do I have to? Yes, she said, quickly moving to open the door. Do I need to check your room?
No. I cleaned it up.
Thank you. Here we go. Any beach items they'd need would be in her father's garage. Chairs, bodyboards, surfboards, etc. She grabbed the last of her stuff to be loaded, and wondered how minimalists did it. Because truth be told, Tommy got his packing skills from her. Had they actually had to pack beach items, she would have needed a van. Or the truck she'd sold a month after Scott's passing, when the almost $1,000 a month payment had come due. While Tommy put the last of their belongings in the Wrangler, she returned to the house to make sure nothing had been left behind, as well as take a quick look in Tommy's room, before locking up and climbing behind the wheel. Tommy sat next to her in the seat, looking every bit as disgruntled and gloomy as ever. Why don't you pick out some good music for us? Her moody son rolled his eyes and pulled out his earphones to place on his head, shutting out the world and her with it.